Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You say, well, I've had a hard week. Yeah, but you're not in North Korea where it's against the law to be a Christian. Amen. You're not there where the Bible is illegal and where they even tell you how you got to get your hair cut. You can't even get your own hair cut in North Korea. They got ways you got to get your hair cut. You don't have even the freedom to get your own hair cut. Oh, I bless the name of God for the freedom we have here in America. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I thank God for His goodness. Our God is a good God. In fact, the Bible testifies. It said, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. God is a good God. In fact, the Bible testifies about His goodness. You and I wouldn't even be here today if it were not for the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 said that that goodness of God is what led us to repentance. When you come to Christ as guilty and sin laden, condemned in your sin, full of sin, whether you are a liar or a thief or a drunkard or an adulterer, or whether you were just an old covetous man or a self-righteous individual, whether you were just filled up with sins of hatred and bitterness and wrath and malice, whether or not you were filled up with all kinds of the world's chemicals to try to keep you going, isn't it wonderful you found out that God let His Son die on an old rugged cross, and on that cross He paid for every one of your dirty rotten sins, and thank God went into a borrowed tomb and come out on the third day. Bless His holy name. I said our God is a good God. Amen. The Bible said, oh, how great is thy goodness. It's a tremendous text. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that God's goodness is greater than anybody else's goodness. Now, we might have periods where we try to do good, and we may have times where we try to be good, but our goodness don't always last every day. Amen. That's right. I'm glad God has great goodness. Our goodness may wax and wane. Our will to try to persevere in what is right may wax and wane, but God is always good, and He's great in His goodness. There may be times in our life when we fail miserably, and God come by in His goodness and say, I'll pick you up. I'll wash you off. Thank God I'll give you what you need to pick up your feet and go on again, my brother. Oh, bless the name of God. And when I've fallen on my face and I failed God so perfectly, I found out He said that He would forgive me and pick me up and wash me off and set me on my feet again so I could go on with God. Amen. That's exactly right. God's goodness is a great goodness. Amen. In fact, it's a superlative goodness. Sometimes men's goodness will wax and wane, but God's always good. Hallelujah. He's good on every day that ends in Y. Amen. He certainly is. He's good in the morning time. You may not be a morning person, but when the silver sun peeks through the clouds, hallelujah, and it kisses the flowers of the field, and it wakes up the trees, and the birds begin to sing for the morning, it tells me again that God is good. And when the sun peeks across the horizon and it shines, it reminds me that His mercies are new every morning, and that I've got something to be thankful for. I'm breathing His air. I'm living in His world. Thank God I'm traveling on by grace. Goodness and mercy are behind me, and grace is with me, and God is ahead of me. And all around me I say, hallelujah, that God is good. Amen. Oh, how great is that goodness. That is a superlative goodness. Now, I know some people that can cook good. Amen. Some of you are here today, and I thank God for that. Amen. And some people are good at certain things. And I'm thankful they're good at it. Amen. If I take my car to somebody to work on it, I want them to be good at it. I mean, I don't want them to take off every part and replace every part when just one thing is wrong with it. Oh, but God is not just good at one or two things. Thank God he's good at everything. And he's good all the time. Hallelujah. And he's got superlative goodness. Our God has got goodness. The Bible said, which is laid up for them that fear thee. And his God's got more goodness for you. You might have been spending up a lot of goodness this week. You might have enjoyed goodness on Monday and goodness on Tuesday. And God's goodness may have come to you on Wednesday and said, look what I've done for you. And then God may have backed up to your door and dumped out a double load of goodness on your life. Oh, but I say hallelujah. He's got more goodness for you. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah, he's got. I said he's got more goodness for you. He's got it stored up. Thank God it's laid by and it's coming on. Our God's got plenty for us. I say hallelujah, amen. Oh, yes. I went over there to the nursing home and Miss Leela Kemp was over there and I was telling her what God was doing. I said, this is what God's given us over here at the mission house. And he's allowed us to pay for it in less than 90 days. And we got money to start to work. And the more I said, the bigger her eyes got. And she leaned up on that seat and she said, preacher, he's got more for you. I said, hallelujah. I felt something come out of another world. I said, hallelujah. God has got goodness stored up for you and I, hallelujah. Yes, he has. He's got stored up goodness. I used to love to go to my granny's house this time of year because she'd been preparing all ready for Thanksgiving. And I'd always go a day or two or three early just to see what she had stored up over there. And you'd go in that house, come Thanksgiving, she'd have enough food to feed an army. And she had certain places she put things. And mind you, if you came on Thanksgiving Day, if you went away hungry, it's because you had your mouth sewed shut. Amen. Oh, but I'd go in that back door and I'd look to the left over there. That's where she put the pies and the cakes. And she'd have a pecan pie. And she'd have a chocolate pie. And she'd have a homemade layered chocolate cake. And she'd have some other desserts. She'd have some other things laid out on top of that place where she kept the pies. And over there by the stove, she had a whole lot more. And she had it spread out across the counter. Oh, I bless the name of God. Our God's got more for us. He's got goodness stored up. He's got goodness for tomorrow. You say, preacher, tomorrow's going to be a hard day. Oh, don't you faint, child of God. David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. You young parents, don't faint. Your kids growing up in a wicked world. But let me tell you this, God's got goodness for them. Moses grew up in Egypt. And somebody would probably said, well, he'll never turn out right. Look at it. Lord, I tell you, if you could see through spiritual lenses, you'd find out that God spared that boy from the crocodiles of the Nile and sent him back into the arms of his own mother through the care of his sister and let Egypt finance his raising. And Egypt fed him and Egypt schooled him and Egypt took care of everything that he had. And yet one day the Bible says, he realized he wasn't Pharaoh's son. He realized that Pharaoh was not his grandpa and that Pharaoh's daughter was not his mother and that God was his God. Oh, I say God is a good God to allow you and I to navigate this old wicked world and say to God, hallelujah, God is good. Amen. He's got superlative goodness. He's got stored up goodness. Hallelujah. He's got supplied goodness. The Bible said, which thou hast wrought for them, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now I'm glad that I didn't have to navigate the pandemic at the mercy of society. I'm not counting on what the government can do for me. I'm not looking to the White House. I'm looking to God's house. And I'm looking to God's throne to take care of me. I don't need the government to try to keep me fed. Thank God I've got somebody that's been feeding and taking care of me for a long time. I say hallelujah. Our God is a good God. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Amen. In fact, everything about God is great. Everything about him is great. Great is the Lord. Psalm 48 verse 1. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Now I remember this, and God got on to me one day about this, because when I worked out there in the world, all them guys that lived in the world and were lost, they come in every Monday morning bragging about where they'd been, what they had done. And some of them been down to the gambling hall, and some of them been right across the line, down there to the South Carolina line. They used to have those gambling establishments just across the line. And some of them been down there, and maybe if they'd won some money, they come in bragging about what kind of money they won. And another come in bragging about where he had been at the beer joint, what he had done. And I started thinking, I said, Lord, one of these days when I hit the clock, I'm going to come and I'm going to say, hallelujah. We got in the house of God, and the power of God showed up. And thank God we raised our hands. We raised our sails. We caught the wind of another world. We got so filled up and we said, hallelujah, our God is good. Amen. Yeah, I mean, we got filled up with the reality that our God is good. Our God is good. He's great in his goodness. And he's great in every form and in every way. You and I ought to praise him because he's great. We ought to thank him because he's good. We ought to worship him because he's holy. You say, I don't get it. Well, if you realize one day that a holy God who cannot even look upon sin looked your way one day and said, I love him. I want my son to die for him. I'll send Jesus to Calvary. I'll let him die on an old rugged cross. I'll let him shed his blood as the payment of the ransom for sin. I'll make sure that if he wants forgiveness, he can come and take it as a perfectly free gift. I'll let him come out of darkness and the God's marvelous light. I'll let him be transformed and made a new creature, where he'll lose the desire to do wrong and long in desire to do that which is right. Oh, bless his holy name. That's the God that I'm preaching about. Oh, he's a great God. He's great in every way. Our Savior is a great Savior. The old preachers used to say, he's a Savior to be proud of. I like that, I do, because I'm glad he's that kind of Savior. I don't have a Savior to be ashamed of. I've got one to be proud of. Hallelujah. He's a great Savior. You and I have a great salvation. Yeah, amen, that's right. I know I'm saved today. I'm not hoping to be saved. I'm not holding on to be saved. I'm not hoping to get saved in the end. I know that I'm saved right now. It's how you know it. I know it because of what the Bible said. I'm not waiting till I die to find out whether or not I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because of what I've done, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do tomorrow or any other day. I'm not saved because I'm a preacher. I'm saved because of the precious blood of Christ and the grace of God and the greatness of God's salvation. And one day the Holy Ghost passed by where I was and got me under old time. Holy Ghost conviction and drew me to an old-fashioned altar, and I took Christ as my Savior, and I'm reveling today in the goodness of God and the greatness of God's salvation. I say hallelujah. Our God is a great God, and his salvation is a great salvation. I like it. I like to even preach on it. Thank God for the greatness of God's salvation. If you and I, as God's people, would just begin to rejoice and thank him and praise him, because the Bible said, great is thy goodness, Psalm 31 and verse 19. The Bible said in Psalm 86, great is thy mercy toward me. and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Great is thy mercy. Great is the goodness. Great is the love. Great are my many sins, but for the blood. Great is the goodness. Great is the mercy of God, which caused him not to exact that penalty that you rightfully deserved. That caused him not to punish you like you deserved to be punished. That caused him to be patient with you until you turn to Christ. You say, I'm not religious. I don't want you to be religious. I want you to get born again. And when you get born again, something is going to happen on the inside of your heart. Great is thy mercy. Hallelujah. Because he's treated us better than we deserve. Great is the goodness of God. Great is thy mercy. Lamentations 3:23 said, the previous verse said, his mercies are new every morning. And then in Lamentations 3:23 it says, great is thy faithfulness. Now you and I at best strive to be faithful. But we cannot say our faithfulness is like that of God's. I want to be faithful. That's my desire. But I have had some times where I had to be in the hospital on Sunday. I wanted to be here. I certainly didn't want to be in the hospital. I wanted to be here, but I wasn't able to be here. But God's faithfulness is an exact faithfulness. In fact, not one time will you come and claim one of his promises that he will not make it good. And if you're not getting help from him, it's not because he's not offering it to you. It may be because your confused and bewildered mind is not reaching out and you're not trusting what his word says, or you're ignorant of his promises, or you don't know the pathway to the throne of grace, or you don't stay there like you should. But I can tell you this, there's not been one moment in my life in these 39 years of loving him and serving him. It's not been one day in this life since I've come by Calvary's cross and been born of God. There's not been one day that God has not been faithful to me. Hallelujah. God has been faithful, and he's been faithful to you too. He may not have done what you thought he ought to do, but he probably done something much better if you stand and look back and think about it. I was just young in my marriage, and I never really didn't have any credit, not because I had bad credit, just because I'd paid cash for everything up to that point. I didn't understand that you had to have credit to get a loan. So I went to this place and tried to buy this little roller skate car for me and my wife. And the man said, sir, we're sorry. We can't do this today. What hurt my feelings? I thought, well, the car wasn't all that much, and you turned me down. He said, it's not that you have bad credit. He said, you don't have any credit. And I thought, well, that was a nice thing to say, but it was true. It was true. But God's always been faithful. He provided, even in those days, what I was going to get was a little roller skate. God gave me something a lot better than that. When it was all said and done, he said, now I don't want you to have this. It'd probably fail on you somewhere down the road. I'll give you something that'll be a whole lot better. In my faithfulness, I've watched that over your life. I've seen what you're going to go through down the path of life. I know what you need. I know exactly what your needs are. I know what your weaknesses are. I know what your needs are before you ask her. I know what your problems are before you face her. I know what kind and challenges you're up against. I'm about to get stirred up. Thank God he's a faithful God. Hallelujah. There's not one hour that God is not faithful. Now, I have been left holding sometimes. Haven't you? You ever been waiting on somebody? And you waited and you waited and you waited. And you looked over at the person waiting with you. And you know what you said? They ain't coming. And when you got beyond that initial moment, you start thinking, now what am I going to do? They ain't coming. Well, you'll never have to say, God is not coming. You know why? Because he's faithful. Now, he may show up like he did at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' place down there in Bethany. You may think he's late, but he's not late. He's running right on time. That's exactly right. You may think, Lord, if you'd been here 4 days earlier, this would all turned out different. Yeah, but he wouldn't have got the glory that he got, and he wouldn't have got the praise that was due his holy name. Our God is a faithful God. Hallelujah. And you're going to be glad that he is a faithful God when you fail him and you get down on your knees and you remember, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is great in His goodness. God is great in His mercy. God is great in faithfulness. In fact, you and I would not be standing here today if God was not faithful. You know, scientists tell us that if our planet that we live on was just a handful of miles closer to the sun, that you and I would burn up. Or if we were so many miles, and it's really not a significant amount, if we were so many miles away from the sun, we'd freeze to death. God is faithful about that. Every time you walk out of the house and you see some little bird, you just remember this. Experts tell us it would bankrupt the richest billionaire just to feed the birds every day. And yet you never hear one outside your window begging for some food. You never hear one singing the blues out there. You never hear them out there moaning and groaning. No, they're eating well. In fact, most of them are eating better than we are. And even the squirrels are eating good. And God is still a faithful God. You think about how faithful God has been to you and how little we have done for Him in return. God has been faithful. He's faithful when you laid out of church and you could have come. Amen. That's right. I'm going to make me up a book of excuses sometime. I'm going to put it down and give it out to all the church members. So when they call and they really shouldn't stay out of church, they can say, "Preacher, it's number 39 again. It's 39 again. 39. I said, "All right, 39. I got it." I've heard worse, I guess, but I've got it. But God is not like that. In fact, if the Lord was as faithful as some Baptists, you and I wouldn't ever be able to get a prayer answer. Amen. I heard one old preacher say they're like Christmas, Easter, and buzzards. I couldn't figure out what he said. I said, "Brother, what in the world was you talking about?" He said, "Well, they come at Christmas, they come at Easter, and they come when somebody dies. Sometimes that's the only time they come. But God is still faithful. Great is thy faithfulness." And even the scripture said this in Psalm 138, verse 5. "Great is the glory of the Lord." Great is the glory of the Lord. I really believe that the present generation of Christians that are the third generation are really in danger in our society. You better look around, America. You better look around. That World War II generation is passing off the scene and most of them are gone. Even the Vietnam era generation that came to know Christ, they are passing off the scene. And my generation is in the latter years of their life. And we've got another generation. Mine was bad enough. But we got another generation that basically they don't care if they serve God or not. Now, where's the next generation going to be when it comes to God's house? Who's going to lead? Who's going to work? Who's going to be dependable? Who's going to stand in the gap? I got a grandbaby here. Who's going to preach to that one? Who's going to hold up the bloodstained banner and say, "We still stand on the same things we stood for, and we still stand on the same truths that our forefathers handed down to us from this book"? Who's going to stand in that hour that's going to be so critical for our society and say, "We're not socialists and we're not liberals and we're not those that have given up on society and on the truth of our founding fathers have handed over to us, but thank God we believe in Bible salvation and Bible truth, and we'll stand on what the Word of God has to say. We'll stand on the Bible. Great is the glory of the Lord." I'm glad I got in on some services in my generation and in my lifetime that I can say to you, you don't have to tell me God is real. I know He's real. I've been in places where He's worked. I've been in places where His power has fallen. I've been in places where people have gotten saved before the preacher ever started, before the preaching ever started. I've been in meetings like that where people got saved before I ever got started preaching. I've been in places where they got saved after the service. They got saved on the road, by the road. They got saved in their car. They got saved at home under conviction. I'm telling you what, I know that God is real. Amen. Now let me say this. I know He's real. I know His glory is real. I don't have any desire to have an old dead church. I don't have any desire to go to a dead church. If I wind up in a nursing home, you'll find me in there preaching. I don't care if I'm laying on the bed. Come sometime, I'm going to break out and I'm going to start preaching. Amen. And I'm going to try to worship God a little while. And I remember going over there as a young man, just started out preaching. I didn't know but one way to preach. I'd preach wide open. And I'd preach and those old saints of God start raising their hands. Oh, every once in a while they'd wave like this. And the tears run down their face. And it made me wonder if they thought, thank God, here comes a young man that wants God and wants something to do with old time religion. Thank God, here's a preacher that's still got the fire of God burning in him and still believes that God is a great God. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I that are here today, we got a lot to thank God for. Yes, sir. We get sidetracked and sidelined and distracted so often in life. And I know that bad things happen to God's people. I know that. And I know the Christian life's not a bed of roses. You're not going to go through this life and live a life that's problem-free. If you think that's the Christian life, you got some kind of crazy idea that didn't come out of this Bible. But I'm going to tell you this, every day of my life, I realize this, and even more so now. When I look around, and I stood in that sanctuary on Friday night, and I looked at a young man, and I told my wife, I said, now I realize how old he was when we first met. When I met Stephen Aldridge's dad and his mom, I realized about how old I was when I met them. I said, can you believe I'm 57 years old and he's 40 years old, and this many years have come down the pipe now, and we've come this far on the journey. Thank God, isn't God good? Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Amen. God is good. I've been in places where His power has been surreal. We've had some services like that here. Hallelujah. We certainly have. We've had some services here where God has moved in. We have some services. In fact, Brother Bobby and Miss Sandra got saved in a revival meeting here, and Brother Stephen Aldridge was preaching that night. God had been working on them. Remember them raising their hand right over here on this side when Miss Flossie's funeral took place. Brother Bobby told me, said, I promised my mom-in-law I'd come to church, and I never did. He said, but I think I'm coming now, preacher. I said, I look forward to seeing you. They started coming. God got a hold of them. Isn't God good? Isn't the Lord good? God is good. And I thank God for His goodness. We got a lot to thank Him for. And I'm just as guilty as any one of you. Most of us complain a lot more than we really do thank God. And I want to tell the Lord I'm sorry for that. Sometimes things get on my heart, and sometimes they get in my heart. And sometimes I get struggling with things. And I laid down the other night, and my heart was so heavy, I was burdened about some people I was praying for. And my wife was already asleep. And I'm glad she was. And the Holy Ghost said, Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I said, Lord, I've been at this a long time, but I'm not any better at it. But I trust You. I trust You. You say, you still doubt Him? Yeah, I'm ashamed of it, but I still do. I still do. And there are times where my trouble begins to trouble me. Sometimes it's the trouble in somebody else's life. And I'm carrying it like a pastor carries it on his heart when he prays for them, when he seeks God on their behalf. I'm carrying it. Sometimes I can't go to sleep at night, and I'm praying and seeking God. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't know how to pray about this, but I need You to teach me. Show me how to pray about it, Lord. Show me, Lord. And God, begin to work on my heart. Show me what to ask for. Teach me and tutor my faith along the way. Now I want to thank Him. He's a great Savior. I'm not a great student, but He's a great teacher. I'm not a great servant, but He's a great Savior. And He's great in every way. A lot of us have got a lot to thank God for. I think probably sometimes the most miserable people I've ever met are people that have every single thing they really want. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed sometimes the most miserable people you've ever met are people that have everything their heart could wish for? And you look around. Now, as a young boy, my cousins lived up in the mountains and foothills. We got on a little motorcycle one day and rode on the other side of the place where he lived at, back through the woods, and we got out. This family that he was friends with, his daddy was the owner of a large furniture-making company in that county, in Caldwell County up there. He said, come on, let's get in the treehouse. And I thought, you know, we're going to go out and climb up a tree. Mm-mm. We went out to a place that had steel poles that went up, had air conditioning and heat in it. I thought, man, we don't have nothing hardly at our house. Look at these people. Tennis court, swimming pool, treehouse. Back then, there really wasn't hardly any video games back then. Probably was a blessing from God. We learned more about the woods and fishing and hunting and all that. Rambling around, played with sticks and rocks and slingshots and BB guns. But I thank the Lord, though, he has been awfully good to me. I'm glad I didn't grow up that way where I felt like I had everything my heart could wish. Still don't now, but I thank God he's been awfully good to me. He's been awfully good to me. And I look around, some of the greatest blessings in my life are people just like you that are sitting here today. And I've been encouraged by your presence here today. I've been encouraged by you coming out to the house of the Lord. But I want to say this to you. I love you and I'm praying for you. I want God's best in your life. But you and I can't be what we ought to be before God if we let the world take over our heart. And we get our eyes on everything material and everything to do with time and all of that. And we don't keep our focus on Christ. That's what this month is all about here at Unity Baptist. And the Lord knows if you and I would become more grateful and thankful for all he's done for us, we live a much more contented life as a Christian. You know, our forefathers didn't know much about all the convenience we had. They had running water, but they ran and got it. They had a stove, but they had to put the wood in it to get it hot. They had a lot of things. And you know what? They were awfully happy in their lives. They didn't have to have every brand new convenience and every gadget that came out. They didn't have to have it. They had the Lord. Now I'd hear them old timers talk about going out there behind the barn, talking to God, getting along with the Lord in the early hours of the morning or late of the evening. They had a different pace of life. You don't have to let the world dictate your pace of life. You look over at your youngins and you got them here with you today, you ought to thank God. You really ought to. I realize one day I'm going to be gone from here. I want them to be in the same place they ought to be when I'm not here. I realize one of these days there's going to be a changing of the guard. We're going to be out of here. And there are going to need to be some other soldiers ready to step in and fill the ranks and take up the hedge. Amen. And I'll tell you, it's going to take the same things to get them youngins to God as it took to get you and I to God. We ought to be grateful that somebody's paved the way, stayed in the path, and remained faithful to the Lord. A lot of those old soldiers are going on from this place and going on from this world to another world. But our God's been good to us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.